800 or an 888 number for a free report on gold and silver from people who claim they make no money? Did you get stuck with a bunch of foreign coins that you can't pronounce? Do you have rare coins that nobody can possibly value, or worse yet, rare coins from a sunken ship? Do you find out they really did make money on you? Are you getting called constantly by telemarketers to buy more or trade every day? Then most likely you've already lost a lot of money. Even if gold doubles or triples from here, you will still lose money. We can help. It's not too late to get your holdings into American products and still take advantage of major market moves. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. No hassle, no hype, no bait and switch, and no complaints. After two decades of service, we're still here for you. Call 1-800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, good morning. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest on Friday morning is Joel Skousen. Always look forward to his analysis of what's going on. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, you pick up the story of your analysis of the events of the following week.
Well, let's talk first about the debate between Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Robert Debretti said it was sickening to see how much Romney was agreeing with Obama and praising him in the last so-called debate. Business Insider thought that Mitt Romney clearly came into Monday night's debate with a strategy to simply hold his lead and appear presidential. He may have managed to do both of those things, but in the process, he seemed to be with agreeing Obama much more than anyone should have anticipated. How much more interesting would the debates be if Ron Paul were in the race? How could Romney possibly criticize the president when the only difference between the two is how aggressive he would be about interfering with other nations? When left with little to differ, Romney could only pander to Obama. Quote, let's do as the president has done, he said. I congratulated him on this, taking out Osama bin Laden. Well, not really. He was already dead years ago. And going after the leadership of Al-Qaeda, he said, well, not really either. Top Al-Qaeda leaders worked for the CIA, the ISI, and Saudi Arabia, so those killed were expendable anti-American fighters, not in the know. He says, we will stand with Israel. Everyone's pandering to Israel as well. But I cover in this week's World Affairs Brief some stories about how much corruption there is going on in the Israeli government and why people ought to distinguish their support for Israel's existence from support for the government, which is corrupt and globalist. Everyone's, of course, talking about a nuclear Iran and a nuclear-capable Iran not being acceptable to the American people. Romney says crippling sanctions do work and are the right thing to do. And I say, if you don't look at the horrific pain caused to innocent people. Incredibly, Romney had no criticism for the disastrous assassination policy used in Pakistan via drones. He says, I don't blame the administration that the relationship with Pakistan is strained. We had to go in there. I support drone strikes entirely and feel the president was right to use right up to the usage of that technology. Well, once again, if you forget about the 50-to-1 kill ratio of civilians to combatants, and even those combatants are based upon any claim, any individual with combat age is considered a dead enemy combatant, whether they were guilty or not. About the only positive I see in Romney's approach is that he is critical of Russia and considers it a threat. Russia is indeed our foremost threat and will remain so until it plays out in a nuclear war and she is defeated. Sadly, Romney's only views China as a financial threat to trade, but China is clearly the long-term world hegemon that any U.S. president should actively try to deter, even though I think the genie's out of the bottle and it's too late. Should have stopped years ago and intervened in China's nuclear weapons program to stop it from being a nuclear power. Just that they're trying to do Iran, but of course, as I pointed out many times, they pick and choose. They don't try to stop North Korea because that's the trigger event for World War III, and they don't try to stop China. It's a major player, one of the best enemies money can buy, to quote you, Dr. Monteith. Well, the Christian Science Monitor noted it in last night's presidential debate on foreign policy. Mitt Romney once again stated his belief that Russia was a geopolitical foe. We know that we can expect Obama to seek more unilateral disarmament with Russia, which is part of the globalist plan to weaken our defense and embolden Russia to finally strike the West. While Romney was critical of Obama's disarmament during the last election cycle, I think he will be talked into more accommodation with Russia if elected president. All of his advisors will be pushing him to follow the globalist agenda of downplaying the Russian threat. As the Washington Times noted, Mitt Romney accused President Romney of failing to protect the military from budget cuts. And I actually think there's a lot of room for cuts if we cut out the foreign interventions, which is a good part of the budget, and it's also wearing out our military equipment. He criticized Obama for squandering U.S. leadership in the Middle East. But that's actually a reflection of our antagonizing the population with underhanded covert operations. Mr. Obama, meanwhile, repeatedly accused the president or the presidential nominee, Romney, of being an amateur on foreign policy. Well, my response is that every president is an amateur until he takes the office. Even Obama was an amateur. Of course, the president was never accused of being having no foreign policy experience. That's left only for Romney. The foreign policy debate served to highlight just how little daylight, said the Christian Science Monitor, there is between the two men on the basic foreign policy choices, ranging from the handling of the civil war in Syria to the unequivocal backing of Israel. Well, this is all the standard media government version of events. As the monitor says, on Syria, both men proclaimed to have differences. They laid out similar policies of trying to help allies in the region, such as Turkey and Saudi Arabia, and trying to get weapons to the right kinds of regime opponents. Well, they're actually arming terrorists, but that product has never produced peace or a stable outcome. Just look at Libya, for example, the last place they armed the terrorists, and they're still there creating havoc within the country and killing U.S. ambassadors. Both candidates seemed eager to move off into the domestic arena, realizing that differences on foreign policy were slim. Without Ron Paul on the stage, the debate was boring, frankly. Nevertheless, Romney got points for appearing less aggressive and more presidential, for whatever that's worth to us. Meanwhile, the polls, despite attempts to downplay Romney's rise, show Romney climbing ahead of Obama. The Gallup poll showed him leading 51-45% after the debates. Other pollsters put the lead at 51-50% or a dead heat. The battleground states are Ohio, Virginia, and Florida, but Colorado, Nevada, Iowa, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin are also too close to call. Well, I see all the signs, Dan, within the establishment media that point to favoring Obama. All the mainstream internet news stories showcase headlines that are critical of Obama, downplaying his lead. For example, the New York Times, all they could do to talk about in Romney's boost in the polls was that Romney's momentum seems to have stopped. I mean, boy, talk about nitpicking. Can't talk about his rise in the polls. They have to say, well, it's kind of tapering off. The establishment is hoping that is true. I think the country is reaching a 50-50 split in ideology. So this may be the last election where conservatives won't be absolutely overwhelmed by benefit-corrupted citizens.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
On March the 3rd, 2005, KHNC 1360 AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until April the 1st, 2013. Our license will expire on April the 1st, 2013, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC by December the 1st, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by March the 1st, 2013. Further information concerning the FCC broadcast license renewal process is available at the studios of KHNC Radio, 2 South Parish, Johnstown, Colorado, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
He actually said it. Mitt Romney said 47% of Americans just don't matter.
So my job is not to worry about those people.
His job is not to worry about those people. So what does Mitt Romney's 47% view of America mean for Colorado? Does it mean don't worry about the 158,000 Colorado students who get Pell Grants?
So my job is not to worry about those people.
So don't worry about 693,000 Coloradans who rely on Medicare or Social Security.
So my job is not to worry about those people.
And don't worry about caring for the hundreds of thousands of Colorado veterans who've served our country. Mitt Romney said those citizens, meaning Colorado veterans, seniors, and middle-class families, call themselves victims. Victims? Colorado, we know we can do better.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Well, Dr. Stan here. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about the political situation right now. If the establishment is to defeat Romney, it will have to pull out all of the stops on electronic vote fraud. This can be done either at the local or the national level. It's already happening during early voting at the local level, according to a local Fox affiliate in Greensboro, North Carolina. Several voters complained that their electronic ballot machine cast the wrong vote. All the complaints were made by people who voted at the Burr Mill Park polling location. One of the voters said that every time she entered her vote for Mitt Romney, it still kept defaulting to President Obama. Guilford County Election Board of Supervisors George Gilbert said the problem arises every election. He's saying that as if that's normal error. It is not. It can be resolved, he said, after the machine is recalibrated by poll workers. Well, that's baloney. It's not a matter of recalibration. You don't recalibrate yes or no digital inputs. They're either on or off. Nothing to adjust. The machine are incorrectly reacting to software that fudges the results, but is not supposed to show out on the screen. Now, that's the problem they're going to have to adjust. It's actually a cover-up of something criminal. But even more dangerous is that electronic vote fraud can now happen at the national level. States have been talked into sending all their election data to national computer banks, some of which are owned by foreign companies, who do all the final tallies. There is absolutely no reason for states to allow this, which makes it almost impossible to track manipulation and errors that occur at the final tally. Well, I'm no fan of Romney. I have to protest the ignorant conservatives who keep bringing up phony conspiracy theories, supposedly linking Romney to the establishment and claiming he is an insider. One video floating around uses totally circumstantial evidence about Romney's financial dealings at Bain to make it appear as if all his money came from drug profits. Storyline goes that since a large share of Bain's startup capital came out of Panama, where billions in drug profits are laundered, Bain's capital must have been drug money. Well, in fact, they don't know anything about the specifics. Panama also happens to be a major offshore money haven for foreigners around the world, where billions in non-drug money is also stashed and seeking investment returns. Unless one can detail who specifically invested and if it was drug money, and that Romney knew it was tainted, you can't make these superficial claims. Well, the video also points out Romney's so-called secret offshore bank accounts. Well, they're not secret. He's declared them to the IRS. It's a common strategy for the wealthy to shield investment income from the heaviest U.S. taxes by stashing it offshore. Nothing illegal about it, but only the real insiders get away with not declaring such accounts because they have secret immunity from prosecution. Enron, for example, had over 800 offshore undeclared accounts, and despite all their illegal activities, was never audited. Romney has not had that kind of immunity from audits. So I think there are many proper things to criticize Romney about without making up superficial and stupid stories about him being an insider. As I pointed out many times on your show, he's not. They don't allow people to be insiders who haven't been grossly immoral, either in the heterosexual or homosexual variety. And so they just don't let people in who can't be blackmailed. Now, that doesn't mean that Romney's, you know, going to counter them. So far, he's surrounded himself with establishment advisors and is doing their bidding, but not because he's an insider, but because he is a naive Mormon politician who thinks that he's doing a service to his church and his state and the world by kowtowing to the establishment. He's too ambitious, wants too badly to be elected, just as in Massachusetts. No conservative should have even tried to be a governor of Massachusetts, where you'd know to get elected you'd have to compromise. Well, let's talk about the October surprises. The claimed announcement by gadfly Donald Trump that was going to destroy Obama turned out to be a bust. The establishment was nothing, or the announcement was nothing more than a two-minute video in which Donald says he'll give $5 million to a charity of Obama's choice if he reveals his passport and other education records for public viewing. He said it's an offer the president can't refuse. Well, he did refuse, and after spending millions on lawyers to shield Obama from his past illicit past, the powers that be are not about to be bought off for a measly $5 million. But the other backstory is that Trump had discovered a divorce filing by Michelle Obama and was trying to prove the president wasn't married any longer. Apparently, Trump's source failed to come through with the paper trail. And the president, as you know, has a lot of dark side operatives capable of leaning on anyone who talks. So Obama had to make do with a phony $5 million offer. Nobody can figure out how this offer would actually threaten the president or destroy him. It couldn't, and it didn't. That's because it wasn't what Trump originally had in mind. It was a last-minute cover. But the Democrats did come up with an October surprise against Romney. Veteran dark side girl for the establishment, Gloria Allred, was illegally fed transcripts of a sealed court case where Romney testified in a divorce proceeding involving Staples founder Tom Stenberg and his wife. Ex-wife Maureen Sullivan Stenberg appeared in court Wednesday with lawyer Gloria Allred. They said they would not object to a Boston Globe motion to lift an impoundment order on Romney's testimony. Well, how sweet that they wouldn't object. Actually, this was something they were pushing for. Apparently, Allred thinks Romney may have perjured himself in this testimony and plans to make hay with it. Romney lawyer Robert Jones says he did not anticipate objecting, but would like time to review the transcript. He asked the judge not to delay the hearing beyond the day. Well, this is a decades-old divorce case in which Mitt Romney provided testimony as to the value of the company. What Allred and the Democrats are after is evidence that Romney understated the monetary value of Staples in order to protect Stenberg from having to hand over too much money to his wife in the divorce settlement. While proving this would take weeks of analysis, the judge is playing along by breaking the sealed documents, which, by the way, were mutually agreed upon by both parties to the divorce. The press will parade Allred's charges, even if not proven, and the media will be working hard to defeat Obama with this kind of tactics. Same thing worked against Art Robinson in the Oregon contest with arch government shill DeFazio, who he barely missed defeating last election cycle. In the last week before the election, DeFazio has run some ads that are illegal, putting up huge billboards on the I-5 corridor, making it appear as if Art Robinson, the conservatives, is taking positions that he actually hasn't taken. And there's nothing in the billboard that says this was an ad put out by the DeFazio campaign. So Art Robinson has filed suit, claiming $1 million damages to DeFazio. But you see, the court process will make sure that nothing happens until after the election, the damage will be done. This is something very similar to what Allred's trying to do. Even if Romney can prove himself correct, the damage will be done. Well, another election story is that the U.S. is pushing in 40 locations throughout the United States U.N. observers to observe U.S. election procedures. And several states are actually saying that we're going to arrest them if they don't stay out of our affairs. This is a foot-in-the-door approach, Dan, whereby the UN wants to start to claim jurisdiction over U.S. elections, and it's something that states should not allow, even on a voluntary basis. I mentioned earlier that there was major corruption rampant in the government of Israel. Christians who believe in the biblical promises about the restoration of the House of Israel, not just the Jews, the whole House of Israel, to the Holy Land, have trouble separating their allegiance to this brand of religious Zionism from the evils of the actual government of Israel, which is corruption personified. Barry Chambers puts out a monthly commentary on his native land that highlights the reason why Christians should not be blind supporters of the Israeli government, even while they support the principle of a homeland for the Jews. Nothing is more emblematic than the many corruption scandals involving almost every prime minister in Israel and every president in recent history. The most recent example is Israel's president Moshe Katsav was found guilty of rape. That Katsav is an insider will most likely be pardoned. Such a request is already before his successor. Most of the scandals have been either sexual or financial, mostly violations of law prohibiting foreign money, millions in foreign money, from being used as payoffs to the various corrupt politicians in the Israeli electoral process. There's also a lot of payoffs to small religious parties in the Israeli parliamentary system, in essence buying their vote with government payments to religious schools and support for settlement infrastructure. The settlements are then betrayed later in the so-called peace process. Well, as Barry Chamish points out, the Israeli police are sent out to attack those who oppose government policies using trumped-up sting operations. On October 11th, he talked about the recent case where cops got caught, their pants down. They dressed as Arabs, approached a South Hebron Hills settlement town of Sisuya in their Purim costumes and attempted to arrest any Jews defending themselves against the mob of Arabs. This is called sting. They, the settlers, don't commit crimes, so the government makes the crimes up by attacking the settlers and then arresting them for resisting. Unfortunately for the cops, one was wounded while being treated. His identity as a paid policeman by Israel was exposed. Well, this is a problem. As Barry says, the stung settlers now know they have no real police protection. Instead, they have enemies in the government plotting things against them. How long will it take for them to realize that murders of their families and their rabbis were sting operations? How long will it they put it together and finally understand that the Hebron massacre of 1994 was also a police sting for so-called for peace? Well, the story of the Hebron massacre at a mosque was supposedly committed by an Israeli settler, a right-wing settler, a member of the far-right Israeli Kach movement. His name was Baruch Goldstein. But he was lured to the site by his own Israeli military superiors, told to come and show up at the mosque, bring his weapon, and he was set up to take the blame. After he went into the mosque, he was locked inside, and others killed the Muslims and then escaped, and blaming Baruch Goldstein. It was just an incredibly evil thing. Then there's the story that Barry talks about Dr. Yehuda Hiss, long-term minister of health, and finally, Israel's official national coroner, Dr. Yehuda Hiss, he's finally been fired. This was the man, Hiss, who forged the pathological report on the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, part of the cover-up that was uncovered by Barry Chamish in his seminal work, Who Killed Yitzhak Rabin? It's a must-read book that I encourage other people to find used on Amazon. But Hiss finally went too far. He ended up being accused of running an organ transplant scam, and he ended up burying the remains or ordering to bury the remains of a victim of a terrorist attack along with the body of the terrorism, which is a real desecration of the grave in Jewish religion. Well, this is just a small sample of the official Israeli corruption. Barry's books can provide volumes of documentation on this and other examples about the phony peace process that the globalists have foisted upon Israel for years. If your listeners believe in God's promises to Israel, then they deserve to find out the truth about the Israeli government and how it's working for globalism, not the God of Israel. For example, Benjamin Netanyahu, the supposed right-wing prime minister, is in fact the Kissinger protege. Kissinger and his group paid for Netanyahu's education, set him up in politics in Israel, and he's playing this false, I'm on the right wing, in order to get Israeli and American Christian support. So we've got to be very, very careful of these kinds of scams in the name of religion.
I understand. Go right ahead.
Well, the next story is the government is planning to make permanent our loss of civil liberties. It's a major story by Glenn Greenwald of the UK Guardian. He broke this story this week. He says a primary reason for opposing the acquisition of abusive powers and civil liberties erosions is that they virtually always become permanent, vested not only in current leaders one may love and trust, but also future officials who seem more menacing and less benign. Well, I can't say there's any leader in the United States that we love and trust. But he points out the Washington Post has a crucial and disturbing story this week by Greg Miller about the concerted efforts by the Obama administration to fully institutionalize, that is, to make officially permanent the most extreme powers that they've exercised in the name of the war on terror.
Hang on to that thought, Joel. We'll be back here as soon as we get through with this break here, right here at the American Freedom Network.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
On March the 3rd, 2005, KHNC 1360 AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until April the 1st, 2013. Our license will expire on April the 1st, 2013, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC by December the 1st, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by March the 1st, 2013. Further information concerning the FCC broadcast license renewal process is available at the studios of KHNC Radio, 2 South Parish, Johnstown, Colorado, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Thank you.
Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to World Affairs Brief and then how they can get your books on preparedness?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. My World Affairs Brief is a weekly news analysis service commentary on a troubled world that I put out every Friday. People can get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And they can review that and past other issues on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription fee for my work to support my work. That's why I allow people to get a free sample issue to see if they like it before they subscribe. My other website, joelskousen.com, that's spelled S-K-O-U-S-E-N, joelskousen.com, contains pictures and descriptions of my other books on preparedness that I have written. It's my philosophy that as we try to fight to preserve our liberty, we have to prepare for a takedown in case we aren't able to win this battle, that we must be able to prepare to at least survive what's coming so that we can reestablish liberty in the aftermath. And I fully think that we've got real severe problems with these powers to be and the powerful forces that are arrayed against us and the deceptive techniques that they keep good conservatives supporting compromising candidates like George Bush and Mitt Romney rather than Ron Paul, who's really what we need. But in any case, these books are as follows. The Secure Home, huge books, big as a telephone book, covers everything from A to Z about high security construction and self-sufficiency in a residence or retreat. My top seller is Strategic Relocation, the North American Guide to Safe Places. In its third edition, all new color maps, and a major section on international retreating as well. My last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. That's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within a basement. And all three of these books can be had from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, and they're among the most popular books that we handle. Go right ahead, Joel.
We're talking about the making permanent of all the loss of liberty and the loss of civil liberties that we have in our Constitution, whether it's complete surveillance or the making of kill lists and hit lists, which will certainly be taken into consideration when we do drone strikes in the United States, like they're doing overseas. In fact, one of the most ominous things that Gren Greenwald points out in this article in The Guardian. It's funny, a UK newspaper has to get all this insider information because our own press won't cover it. But this new center for targeting of American suspects is going to be based in Washington, D.C. Of course, they're claiming it's to be targeting terrorist suspects overseas. Why set this up in the United States then? It's also, they talk about the fact that they have huge data centers, obviously are much, much bigger, like the one that they're just building now in Utah, than is necessary to track a few thousand terrorists. They are tracking everything about dissidents in the United States as well, both personal information and financial information. So this is a great concern. I'm also talking in this week's brief about the fact that real inflation is much higher than what the government says. I've often written about the fact that the federal government purposely understates the true rate of inflation. Everyone knows about fuel prices going up and how that's not reflected in the consumer price index. But here are some everyday examples of everyday products and how they're inflating. Turkey, for example, has gone up 56%. Wine has gone up 60%. Ground beef has gone up 61%. Eggs, grade A, have gone up 73%. I mean, this is not just 1 to 2%. It's not even 10%. This is 73%, 90% for coffee. Margarine, which nobody should eat, by the way, it's vegetable oils that are highly processed, rancid, and dangerous to your health, has gone up 143%, as well as vegetable oils and other things, mostly because of the insane policy of taking all the corn in the United States and turning it into expensive ethanol, selling at a discount to supposedly solve our fuel problems, but it's only causing huge deficits in our food prices. Well, related to that, there's a major battle going on about GMO labeling in California. Perhaps the two greatest health cover-ups in America are the continued approval of big pharma drugs and vaccines laced with deadly side effects, and the refusal by the FDA to stop GMO foods, which have never been tested long-term for human safety, from entering the food chain. Now the battle is over labeling. In California, voters are finally trying to bypass the refusal of Congress and the state legislature to act by putting Proposition 37 on the ballot. This citizen initiative, if passed, would require that all foods containing genetically modified ingredients are labeled as such, so the public can make an informed choice of what they are consuming. Well, big agriculture is pouring in millions of dollars to scare the public away in California, claiming that such labels would cost individual consumers over $400 a year in higher food prices. That's just pure baloney. California is such a big market that if Proposition 37 passes, all products sold nationally will have to change their labeling to reflect the GMO ingredients. So in today's brief, I have a link to a video talking about the importance of avoiding GMO food to your health. A tremendous amount of increase in common diseases is paralleling the introduction of these foods into the marketplace. As a medical doctor, what are your concerns, Stan, about GMO and things like that?
I think that they're intentionally poisoning the American people. The European countries will not allow the GMO foods. The African countries won't allow GMO foods except for South Africa. And, of course, here they're poisoning us. They're poisoning our children. They know from the animal studies this produces cancer, infertility, destroys organs. The animals die earlier. The cows, by the third generation, fed genetically modified corn, cannot reproduce. They are intentionally poisoning the American people. And fortunately, a lot of people realize something's wrong, but they put these products into our food, and they say natural health products. Ladies and gentlemen, these are not natural. These are diabolical. And Monsanto, which is the primary culprit, working with the Rockefeller Foundation, certainly Bill Gates, they've established the Doomsday Seed Bank, where they have good seeds. They're up 600 to 800 miles from the Arctic Circle on an isolated island under military guard, where they're storing good heritage seeds so they can start in all over again. This is just genocide.
Yes, and that's, combine that with the eugenics campaign, Memorandum 200 put out by Kissinger, talking about removing useless feeders. The establishment really has wanted to reduce the world population, and I think they intend to do that by a variety of means, not the least of which is war and creation of disease and destroying the immune system of people. So people really need to wake up about the necessity to get real good, true, honest nutrition, organic nutrition that avoids GMO foods, staying away from vaccines and drugs with all their side effects. I was just appalled when I was traveling the last few days, sitting in a restaurant watching the Fox News talk about the glories of statin drugs and undermining the dangers of them.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Federal Communications Act of 1934, Equal Time Rule, subsection 315A, stipulates and specifies that U.S. radio and television broadcast stations must provide an equivalent opportunity to any opposing political candidate who requests it. This means, for example, that if a station gives 1 minute to a candidate on prime time, it must do the same for another candidate. Provision B requires that broadcasters offer the time to candidates at the same rate as their most favored advertisers.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I agree with Joel. We should be very, very concerned not only with the genetic modified food, but with these scams like Lipitor, a multi-billion-dollar effort to put out a drug that is harmful to people and does no real good. If you look at the ads for Lipitor, they will tell you there's a 30% difference between people who take it and don't take it as far as stroke and heart attack. They're really talking about a 1% difference. A 1% difference to justify the use of a multi-billion dollar medication. Ladies and gentlemen, Lipitor does far more harm than good. But go right ahead, Joel.
Well, another story that's important is that U.S. oil production is rising fast. The U.S. may soon become the world's top oil producer. U.S. oil output is surging so fast the United States could soon overtake Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest producer. Driven by high prices and new drilling methods, the U.S. production of crude and other liquid hydrocarbons is on track to rise 7% this year to an average of 10.9 million barrels per day. This will be the fourth straight year of crude increasing, the biggest single-year gain since 1951. Well, the boom has surprised even experts, especially those who bought into the false cries of peak oil. The Energy Department forecasts U.S. production of crude and other liquid hydrocarbons will average 11.4 million barrels per day. Of course, they're including biofuels, which come from corn, which I object to. Saudi Arabia's output is 11.6 million barrels, and Citibank forecasts U.S. production could reach 13 million to 15 million per day by 2020. So let's talk about what the meaning of this is. Well, there's more to the story relative to the globalist agenda. The U.S. has purposely kept a lot of U.S. oil production off the market. Globalist oil companies have financed the very radical environmental movement for a decade that works directly against oil company interests. Why would they do this? Well, my theory is that the Western globalists were preserving our own oil reserves by restricting drilling, knowing that they were going to bring a huge nuclear war upon the world and that the U.S. would someday be cut off from foreign oil and with shipping all that, with shipping all but stopped as well. So by restricting U.S. supplies, they induced a huge foreign demand and built a huge fleet of ships so that foreign oil would be used up while preserving U.S. reserves for a future war. Now that we are probably only a decade away from that major world war, and I don't think Iran is going to turn into a world war, this is something that's going to be between China, Russia, and the United States someday, the U.S. is suddenly gearing up for domestic production now. Artificially driving up prices has been part of that agenda so that U.S. oil could be more easily developed when the time is right. It's also important to note that the reason that gasoline prices are not coming down despite increasing oil supplies domestically is that the U.S. refiners are shipping a good deal of their product, especially diesel fuel, over to Europe where they can get a higher price rather than selling it and helping lower our prices here. So that should not be surprising to Americans who are used to the manipulations of oil companies. And but at least it looks like there's going to be no oil shortage until war comes.
I think you're absolutely right. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who haven't read Lindsay Williams' 1980 book, The Energy Non-Crisis, or seen the DVD we have with him, The Energy Non-Crisis, he was talking about the abundant oil supplies here back in 1980. That's 30 years ago. They've had the oil, and of course they've suppressed it so they could run the price up, make fabulous fortunes, and also funnel a great deal of money to Saudi Arabia. And why funnel money to Saudi Arabia? Because they're funding the terrorists. And we have to have an enemy if we're going to have a war. Anyway, go right ahead.
Well, a lot of hype has been made about the dollar being collapsing because it won't be the world's reserve currency. But that really cannot happen except in a slow downward spiral. There just simply is no other currency that can take the place of the dollar as the world's currency. In the first place, you have $200 to $300 trillion that are outstanding around the world. Those people have traded those dollars for value, and they're not about to let the, you know, go down immediately. The fact that Iran isn't dealing in dollars, or that Russia and China are taking trade between themselves in their own currencies rather than dollars, has a very minimal impact on the dollar, and people should not believe the hype that the dollar's collapsing because of that. There simply is no way to convert those $200 to $300 trillion into other currencies without inflating those other currencies. There's not enough euros to even come close to becoming a world reserve currency, nor pounds, nor special drawing rights of the UN. Special drawing rights would be like having a basket of currencies, but, you know, who could trust that basket of currencies to not be inflating at different rates in order to take advantage of the fact that they are part of the special drawing rights? Certainly no one's going to trust Chinese yuan, is lack of transparency that they have. I mean, none of these fiat currencies really publish what the level of inflation is, and you can't trust them. And that's why everyone's going to stick with the dollar, especially since the dollar is the prime source of bailouts. Europeans love the dollar because it bails out their central bank. The British love the dollar because it bails out their central bank. So I don't see a collapse of the dollar in the near future, only a downward slide. In fact, most nations really love U.S. inflation because that means they can inflate as well and still maintain currency parity with the dollar. In other words, the dollar inflates 10%, the euro can inflate 10% and not affect the relative value between the two currencies. So everybody loves fiat currency until it finally collapses, but I still believe they're going to wait till they give us a world war to engineer that collapse, because then the powers that be get off scot-free. They blame the war on it. They don't take the blame for the collapse of the economies and the engendering of a new world order. They blame that on war. Part of that philosophy of war is making sure that nobody realizes that Russia and China are really preparing for that war. There are many signs that Russia is rearming in secret. Last week I pointed out how the U.S. is cutting aid ties, or how Russia is cutting aid ties with the U.S. so that it has an excuse to deny U.S. inspectors access to Russian nuclear facilities. This week, Russia flexed its military muscle and did a major test of its nuclear weapons systems and missiles. And Reuters and other news sources continue to downplay that, exclaiming that this is just Vladimir Putin taking a leading role, flexing his muscle, appearing to be machismo in order to win re-election. That's the propaganda message.
We're out of time, Joel. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. God bless.
Mitt Romney was speaking for all Americans when he said this.
We don't have to settle for what we're going through. We don't have to settle for gasoline at $4. We don't have to settle for unemployment at a chronically high level. We don't have to settle for 47 million people on food stamps. We don't have to settle for 50% of kids coming out of college not able to get work. We don't have to settle for 23 million people struggling to find a good job.
Then Mitt Romney spoke in words that gave us hope for a better future.
If I become president, I'll get America working again. I will get us on track to a balanced budget. I'll make sure we can reform Medicare and Social Security to preserve them for coming generations. I'll get our incomes up. And by the way, I've done these things. I served as governor and showed I could get them done.
We simply can't afford to settle for four more years of Barack Obama.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Doc, America is heading into serious economic problems, and there is a timetable. There is a small group who runs our country, who runs the world, and they're moving us towards cataclysmic changes. These people, of course, are deeply involved with the occult. And this is what most people who talk about what's going on today miss. We talk about the political and cultural events that are taking place, but we don't talk about the spiritual forces which energize this. And that's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it through three times. You need to get my talks. They're on DVD, on the dark secret and the forbidden secret, and their syllabuses go with that. And finally, you need to get my talk on Agenda 21. Agenda 21, the covert plan. And the syllabus goes with that because that, of course, is put out by the other side. And you'll read the Earth Charter, and you'll read certainly the inscriptions on the Georgia Guidestones, which were erected by a secret society and laid out their plan for a world government and the destruction of humanity. You can actually go to Elberton, as I have, and understand this is where the secret society put up their monument. And the fact that you don't hear about this from most sources reflects the total control, or almost total control, that exists today over what the American people think of the talk, Agenda 21, the covert plan, and the syllabus that goes with that. If you get the two together, you get a reduced cost. Also, we carry the government book called Sustainable America, which will tell you they want to cut back on the use of power. They want to limit the population. They tell you exactly what they're doing in all sorts of flowery terms, but they control everything going on. They list the major corporations, the government bureaucracies, the private organizations that are working to implement a sustainable America and carrying out the program in Agenda 21, the covert agenda for America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs 24 hours a day, where you can read our newsletters, where you can go to the other section on other videos on the web and see all the other videos and YouTubes, which I think are important. And then remember, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We need your financial help to maintain the network of stations we have all across America, both during the week and on weekends. We need your help. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today by powerful spiritual forces which would destroy this nation and use our financial and military power to bring about this one world totalitarian government under the new world leader, who is the Antichrist. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want us to know. You know, we have many of the books that they have put out, books by Satanists like Manly P. Holm on his lectures on ancient philosophy, or The Secret Destiny of America, where he tells you that for 3,000 years, they've been working to set up a network of democracies throughout the world, a network of democracies throughout the world to bring about this one world government. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, when he talks about democracy, he's talking about a dictatorship. Because there never was a democracy that didn't become a dictatorship. It's been tried many times. That's why our founding fathers created a republic. Until, well, like Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.